Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to another Invest with Clarity podcast with Mark Pearson. Today's title is Won't Get Fooled Again. And Mark and I were joking. It'd be super cool to be able to play, you know, just a snippet from the song, but we'd get sued. And I also said, of course, I volunteered to sing it. And I was squashed very quickly by Mark Pearson because he didn't want to hurt anybody's eardrums. So, Mark, let's talk about not getting fooled again, man.
Yes. Excellent. Well, glad to be with you, of course, as usual. We won't get fooled again is the title of our latest blog, and that put together by the Nepsis research team, which we'll opine on today. And the whole gist, if you will, of it is, let's not get fooled again. People are getting fooled continually because they don't have a sound process for making investment decisions. And so they rely on turning on the business news to hear the latest and greatest snippets from somebody that ends up being wrong. And, you know, I was thinking this morning before I came on the podcast today, I want you to think about this. This is what investors do, Matt. Think about how many different experts come on CNBC, Fox Business, all the periodicals, Money Magazine, Kiplinger, Wall Street Journal, whatever it may be. But in particular on TV, their job is to fill airtime and bring in guests, right? And so these guests come in and they opine on their opinions about things, which are oftentimes opinions and not fact. And you as the investor start soaking it in, and you begin to formulate your own opinion. You agree with some of the things that someone says. You don't agree with some of the things someone says. And whether you agree or you don't agree, you make the decision to do it without really having all the facts to back up the decision that you're making. Now, I want you to think about something for a minute. Let's imagine, Matt, for a minute that you are a business owner. And by the way, investors are business owners, aren't they? Which is why I said that. And you're a business owner sitting in the conference room around the conference room table. And I want to apologize up front. I'm feeling a little sassy today, actually. I want to apologize up front if I sound too commonsensical, because sometimes common sense is uncommon. And sometimes people look at common sense and say, that's the dumbest thing they've ever heard. But it's still common sense. You know, my dad once told me, yeah, I read something the other day. I'm going to squirrel completely here for a second. What's the one thing that your father, because Father's Day is coming, right? And one of the questions that came up was, what's the one thing your father taught, what the one biggest thing your father taught you? And I was thinking about that. And I remember my dad telling me in high school that common sense is uncommon. Hmm. Man, was he actually absolutely, not only was he only accurate, he was scarily, so scary accurate. It's scary to see how lack of common sense is out there. And we could just talk about the vast amount of subjects going on in our world today to get us that, let alone every day in our day-to-day activities. So anyway, back to the story at hand. Imagine you're a business owner and you're sitting at the conference room table with all the leaders of your company. And generally, when you're sitting down with your management team in a company, you've got what, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you, right? Helping you make business decisions to get you where you want to go. Unfortunately, we have investors who listen to 10, 20, 30 different opinions and try to make decisions about what to do, and they end up getting confused, they end up lacking clarity, they end up not knowing what to do, and they're guessing at the decisions that they're making. And the point of won't get fooled again is enough of listening to 5, 10, 15, 20 people. Enough of turning on the TV and listening to someone opine about something they think is right. I love the guys that come on who, particularly during March and April when I was buying like a banshee, by the way, and they were all saying, well, this thing is going to go down further. I won't mention their names, but some big names have been thrown around. This thing's going to get lower. This thing's going to go lower. And they got stuck into the vast vacuum of prognosticating, postulating, speculating. Stop prognosticating, postulating, speculating. Investing is a simple process. Invest in great businesses over time. And so our crack research team put together a bunch of information basically spelling out, look, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. How many times are we going to sit and listen to people prognosticate about stuff only to find out it's wrong? And I get kind of sick and tired of this whole idea, man. Why people come on and say, well, the market's going to have a 30% correction. We're going to test the bottoms, yada, 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 yada. What happens after you do that? No one ever talks about the aftermath. All right, sorry. I'm done.
Well, I want to jump in there too, because I don't think a lot of listeners truly understand this, that the majority of the people who aren't hosts or have their own shows paid a lot of money to be on there to express their opinion. It's not even that they're really that amazing. Some of these people write huge checks to get on CNBC and, you know, Fox Business and all of that sort of stuff. So really, who are these people anyway, brother?
Right. Well, right. What's credibility? I mean, what does credibility mean? What does it mean? Flat out, you know, our clients this year are having a phenomenal year. Our clients had a phenomenal year last year. But short-term performance is no guarantee of future performance. And if I posted the returns that we've had over the last couple of years, people would throw their money at Nepsis to have it managed because they think I'm a genius. I'm not really a genius. I just stick to a process. And the process gives me the confidence to stick with it because it's time tested. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's funny. I was on the phone with someone at Fidelity yesterday, a service rep at Fidelity, working on something for a client. And I'm having this conversation with her. She goes, boy, I bet you're really busy lately. And I said, actually, no, I haven't gotten any, we haven't gotten any phone calls from clients about the volatility. And she's like, you're kidding. I said, no, because we've taught our clients about the investment process and investing with clarity. She goes, that's incredible. I said, well, people need to know what they own and why they own it. And I love volatility. I said, we need to have volatility to be successful investors. And she says, "This." She works for, and look, she's a customer service, she's not an advisor. She's not a, this is not a knock at all against Fidelity. This is an investment opinion that a lot of investors have. Oh, I'm getting older and I don't like volatility at all anymore. I get too nervous and worried about the volatility. And I said, well, first of all, you sound super young on the phone. She goes, oh no, I'm old. And she goes, you know, I'm just over 40. And I went, you ain't old.
Yeah, she's not old.
You're not old. And I said, the reason why you don't like volatility is because you don't know what you own and why you own it. Mm-hmm. You don't know the businesses you own. And people focus more, it goes back to this idea, Matt, that people invest, quote, in the stock market, not in businesses. But that's not the case. You invest in businesses. And the stock market is nothing more than the greatest tool ever created to bring buyers and sellers of businesses together. And the whole concept, let me just say this real quick. And the whole concept of won't get fooled again is, if you stick to an investment philosophy and strategy like Nepsis, you stick to your buy discipline, sell discipline, when these people get on and start tooting their horns about how brilliant they are, you won't get fooled again. Shame on me if I listen to the same stuff over and over again. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, let's get back to the crack research team. So you got this new blog coming out. You know, won't get fooled again. What sort of stuff did the research team come about? I know it's pretty deep. You know, if they want to read it, they can read it. But let's talk about that, brother.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, according to this document here, we've seen $380 billion of assets as of when this was written recently. $380 billion of assets leaving ETFs / funds and going to cash over the last 13 weeks. So this is June. Let's just say 3 months, right? April, May, June, March, April, May. Pick the three-month period you want to pick. It doesn't matter. The S&P got down over 30%, 35% year-to-date. It's now down about 3%. So that 35% move has moved 32 percentage points, roughly, give or take, while $380 billion went and sat in cash. And what my team goes on to say is that this simply proves our thesis, as we have grown our assets under management over the last 3 months because we were able to make rational, logical changes in the midst of the worst of the crisis and do sound invest decision making. I want to give you a couple of examples of some companies that we bought, because this is, you know, when we make an investment, we make it long term, right, Matt? We don't know what's going to happen in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 months. Now, we did think we'd see a V-shaped recovery. We put that in one of our last podcasts. We're not in the business predicting. I'm not telling you that we were right to pat ourselves in the back. Quite frankly, if you're a long-term investor, you don't want stocks to rebound this quickly. You want time to be able to put clients in at cheaper prices. You don't want to see it skyrocket if you're not selling it for the next 5, 10, 15 years, right? And that's illogical for a lot of investors to think. You know, a lot of investors look at their portfolio and go, oh, goody, 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 it's going up. But who cares? Because you're not selling it anyways. So to make yourself feel emotionally great to scratch that itch is bad. It's bad investment karma for you. Don't do it. You don't make a red cent until you sell it. So I would much rather see stocks move up slower so I have an opportunity to put more people's assets in at lower prices. But in March, during this pullback, Square, which of course many people are familiar with Square now, right? Square started the year, I think, around, I want to say $62, $63 a share. And it went up to like, I want to say like 92, 93, something like that, right? And during the financial crisis, this thing tanked like a rocket ship, right? Because so it started at like 64, went to 80, looks like 84, 86, somewhere in there. Bottomed around 35, 52-week low was 32, 33, okay? Today, it hit an all-time high of 100. Today. 3 months. 3 months. Now, I need to say this for disclosure purposes. This is not a solicitation. This is not a recommendation of any stock, any company we mention here on this podcast. But 35 to 100.
Well, let's just look at, let's go back to the clarity and knowing what you own and why you own it. The reason, okay, and I'm postulating here, so you yell at me, but yep. The reason why the stock went down is because people weren't swiping their cards because everybody was on lockdown. So correct. Things happened, but you know, Square is, they own that space, brother. So why wouldn't it come back? You know what you own and why you own it.
Right. So, right. And we knew COVID was a short-term event. Right. So, you know, when we make an investment decision, we're looking at the valuation metrics and not of what's going to happen in 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road. We're looking at 3, 5, 10 years down the road. I mean, we bought both Visa and MasterCard the day they went public. You know, it's been over 10 years for both of them now. And actually, it's been, wow, I mean, 2020, it's been 14 years, I think, since Visa went public. Geez, I'm getting old. MasterCard, I think MasterCard went public in 06. Crazy. Square went public around $7 a share, I believe is what the number was. So back in 2016, the stock was trading at $7, $8, $9, $10. I'm going to give you a really important lesson. There's more and more people, I guess, are tuning into the podcast, which I greatly appreciate the listeners tuning in. And not everybody's going to go listen to all 55 of the previous podcasts, whatever number I've put out there. So a lot of times I'll, you know, reiterate things I've said in the past. But one of the things I talk a lot about, man, is the idea that in today's investment climate, we have created a monster. And we've talked about modern portfolio theory. We've talked about cookie cutter portfolios. We've talked about a race to the bottom in fees. We've talked about how money managers try to convince investors that what they like to manage in a portfolio is volatility to help on the downside risk. And frankly, the variables are too many to even do that. And I think you have to stick, it's a prodding plot. It's a plotting process. It's sticking to a blocking and tackling. It's like a, you know, a motor. You just kind of does the same thing over and over again, right? And, you know, when our parents were growing up, the average holding period of a stock was 8 years. Today it's 8 months. And, you know, people fundamentally, while the ability to get educated is much greater, there's a lot more information to educate yourself on, I believe people have become less successful investors. And the Dalbar study shows that, many studies that have been done show that investors are not as successful. And a lot of that has to do with that they like to time getting into investment, not time in the investment. Timing versus time. We've talked about Zest. Now, Zest has some, you know, ulterior things going on with it. but here's a stock that 4 months ago was 50 cents and everybody threw it out and said, this thing's worthless and this company is going to go belly up. And the stock is now at 3.5. It's a 300% move in the last 3 or 4 months. And it is a great lesson in the idea that while that stock has been horrible performer for 3 years, all of a sudden you wake up one day and it's 3.5. I've used this analogy with annuities before, right? People are willing to go buy variable annuities or indexed annuities, pay massive fees to buy these annuities. And the reason why they do it is so it, quote, protects them from the downside, protects them from the downside. But the bottom line is they have to hold on to that annuity for 8 or 10 years. Well, if they did the same thing with owning businesses, more than likely, chances are they would find that, gee, volatility actually maybe helps me, downside maybe helps me, because it allows me to buy more of these great businesses on sale. So I can go down the list. Discover went to 25. Today it's sitting at 56, right? Visa, 132, now at 195. I mean, you can just go down the list of companies that are very, very good companies, right? That crashed and are coming back down the list. And so Chubb got down to $98. It's back to 131. I mean, if you own these businesses longer term, don't allow yourself to get fooled by the commentary and the information that comes out. So you asked about research from my team, right? $380 billion comes out in the last 13 weeks. Look at the move that a lot of these companies have had. What I always love about that, Matt, is then people come on and they start rationalize why it happened. Well, this is why they went up. This is why this market went up. The Feds are doing this. The Feds are doing that. I don't care why they're going up. They're going up. And you just missed out on an unbelievable opportunity as a, quote, long-term investor to sit in cash and not take advantage of buying great businesses on sale, but instead focusing on your emotional predisposition to guessing. I like that.
I love that. And I think one of the major issues is we are taught and communicated to at such a great level with so much prevalence that what you're talking about makes so much sense, but it's still quite contrarian, which blows me away because the greatest investor of our lifetime talks about what you're talking about here, brother.
Right. It's all, you know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with another individual this morning, and this individual said to me that, you know, they invited me to some deal that to go listen. And he said, you know, the problem with you is you're not going to get anything out of this and what they say, because you're a contrarian anyway. I mean, you pretty much do what you are going to do regardless of what others are saying. And you usually make your decisions counterintuitive to what everyone else does. And that historically has been my modus operandi, if you will. I do have a tendency. I mean, I sit and laugh at some of the stuff some of these people come on and say. I mean, there's a couple people I remember when they were on the financial crisis, and I was like, first of all, I would never be dumb enough to put myself out on a ledge like this to say the things like you're saying, because if you're wrong, and you could be wrong, you're going to get crucified. And they are. I that's why when people say to me, Matt, what do you think the market's going to do this year? What do you think the stock market's going to do in the next 6 months? What do you think the stock market's going to do in the next 3 years? I tell them I have no stinking clue. And nor do I really care. Because at the end of the day, it's about owning great businesses over time, right? You know, it's kind of like some of the questions that people have been asking. How can the stock market continue to go higher and higher with all this bad economic data? We've covered it. Smart investors invest in the future, not in the today. Okay? Make your decisions based on what you think is going to happen in the next 1, 2, 3, 5 years, not what's happening right now. What's happening right now is already happening, and the valuation of the businesses has already been set.
Well, hold on. You say something often on these podcasts, and I want you just said it a little differently there, which is the market has already blankety blanked this in. Would you fill in those blanks there?
Right. The market is already priced in the pullback. The economy pulling back, the recession, has already been priced into the value of businesses. And different businesses are affected differently by economic conditions. And that's why it's less important to focus on what the stock market does over a short period of time and focus on what your businesses are doing. Look, 72% of the time, year over year, the stock market's up. So if you want to just instantaneously put yourself in a position to be 72% right, stay invested. Don't try to guess. And, you know, the other thing that people argue and debate, which I unequivocally disagree with, they say the stock market is efficient. Bull. How can a market be efficient? There's too many variables and moving pieces in a quote unquote market. There's too many personalities. There's too much financial information. There's too much economic data. There are too many things that are going on. Can I please just say it one more time, Matt? Investors and investing is illogical. Don't try to figure this thing out logically. Who would have thought Tesla would be at $900? Who thought Square would be at $99 3 months ago, right? Over short periods of time, things are illogical. However, over longer periods of time, things become more logical. And that's where you get to that quote unquote efficiency, if the market, if you will, and I prefer to say the efficiency of the value of a business. Because, Matt, there's only two ways a business can go up in value, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get an expansion of the price-to-earnings ratio, price divided by earnings, what you're willing to pay for a stock, a company's earnings. 16 times forward earnings is the average for the S&P 500, okay? Lots of companies trade at much higher valuations, and there's a lot of different valuation matrix. I'm not going to get into all that. But bottom line is you can get an expansion of the multiple. So that's the first way in which you can get an increase. The second, earnings. Make more money. I mean, these are really the two ways. Everything that happens in between that is opportunity. Either opportunity to buy or opportunity to sell a piece or all of that business that you own. That is the simplest I can break down investing to. Okay. And when you look at people focusing on quote unquote big picture things and all the prognosticating, postulating, speculating, at the end of the day, it still boils down to sitting at the conference room table with your leadership team, your management team, and saying, what do you think we do here? What should we do strategically here? Instead of sitting in an amphitheater with 50 people and letting 50 people tell you what to do.
Yeah.
This is why people ask me, how big is your investment team, investment committee? I say, there's four of us. Well, that's not very big. And I said, it ain't going to get any bigger. I don't need 15 people giving me their opinion about what they think we should be doing. The more cooks, it's the cooks in the kitchen theory, right? Too many cooks in the kitchen. Stick to the process, process before progress.
Do you think we could do a podcast on how businesses are valued? Because that was really interesting what you just said there. And just so you know, I keep very close track of everything that we've ever talked about. And I don't think we've actually really gone into that. And I don't know if that'd be a fun podcast or that'd be interesting, but we could really nerd out on that, maybe for a short podcast, and talk about how prices are arrived at. What do you think?
It would never be short. And this is the deal. This is what I keep trying to tell people, that at the end of the day, while valuation of a business is important, I'll be blunt, it's not the most important. Now, that's going to surprise you a little bit, right? Because stock prices go up based on two reasons.
Right.
But those are not the only two reasons that you should think about when it comes to be making a decision on an investment. You have to think about time horizon for that investment. You have to think about how it fits into your asset allocation strategy. In other words, when people ask us, how do we invest? We tell them we're top down and bottom up. Top down means we look at the industries that we want to invest in as a whole. And then bottom up, we look at the businesses within those industries we want to own. We don't own restaurants. We don't own airlines. We don't own cruise lines. We don't own many of the industries that are out there. We own financial. We own technology. You know, in financial, we own fintech. We own insurance. We own specialty type of companies, internet-based companies like a JD.com. You know, we own very specific types of businesses that we believe have the opportunity for not only multiple expansion over time, but earnings growth as well, or dividend growth. And while you can make a decision to buy a company over a short period of time, something can happen that can completely derail that. And Zest is a classic example of this. You know, full disclosure, you know, we have a large position in Zest. I'm not telling you to go buy it. But Zest ended up in a $2 billion lawsuit with Walmart. And no one expected that to come, you know, while they were struggling for a long period of time. And while the outcome of that is unknown at this point, they're doing other things as a company to create shareholder value. And hence, this company's stock has moved from 50 cents to $3.50. I never would have thought I'd be here today saying it was that value, but I've been invested in this company, Matt, for 8 years. It's a long-term investment. And I believe that we are going to get remunerated quite well for owning our investment, but there's no guarantees. But that's one position. And as we state in our investment policy statement, as I've told you before, no one position should make or break the value of your overall portfolio. Yep. It is the asset allocation and the buy and sell discipline. So I would say we probably shouldn't do that.
Got it.
Plus we don't want to give away all our secrets.
I also like the idea of, you know, talking and breaking down time horizon a little bit more, but we're going to run out of time for that today. So, all right, closing thoughts, brother, what do you got?
Well, I think closing thoughts now, we're coming in the summer, you know, a big move has already been made in lots of companies as well as the indexes. And while that's happened, there are still always opportunity to invest in great businesses. There are always things that are happening that are outside the realm of what's happening with your overall quote unquote indexes. And that's why I believe it is about owning businesses over time, not timing the business, and sticking to that buy, sell discipline and asset allocation strategy.
This has been the podcast called Won't Get Fooled Again with Mark Pearson for Napsis. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you do. And listen, it'd be really great for you to share this podcast if you're a fan of this podcast. It's very, very easy to share it on all social media channels by just clicking the share button, because more people need to understand that investing is not what you hear on television. Investing is a process that you need to stick to with unbelievable level of clarity and discipline. So for Mark Pearson, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic. Very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Napsis Inc., an SEC registered investment advisor.